Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. It is now the 8:30 hour, but it's not Wednesday night, it's Thursday night. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in on yesterday and realized that I wasn't on the air. And so many of you called to find out what was going on, and it made me feel so good because, you know, you were checking on me and wanted to know if everything was all right, and for that I say thank you. I was in Macomb, Mississippi on last night, and they had a power outage which took away the internet, and I wasn't able to get into the studio. So I decided to reschedule the program for tonight. And I really believe that God tonight is going to give us double for the trouble. You know, Satan set some things up and some things are just because they are. We weren't able to get on, but God is allowing us to do it tonight. And for that, I'm grateful. I also see that we have so many callers who got the message because I could see in the studio the lights are coming on. And all I can say is glory be to God. Our lesson tonight is, the title of the lesson is Jesus is Coming Back. We are in the book of Matthew's, the 25th chapter. We're going to study the 1st through the 13th verse. You know, it's always an honor and a privilege to come before God's people, that God would allow me to do this week after week for years. And we have formed a fellowship, and I'm grateful. I thank each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule as we come together to explore the Word of God. Again, our title tonight is Jesus is Coming Back. We're in the book of Matthew's. As always, we open up with a song. Hallelujah. The light in the studio is just blinking. The callers are coming, and I thank God for it. So we're going to have a song. We have our soloist with us tonight, Sister Elyria Mackey from Bootville, Louisiana, that's with us tonight. Miss Mackey, I need you to press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic and you could come and you could sing the song that you have prepared for us. Elyria Mack, if you on the on the phone, press the one button on your phone and I can open the mic. Well, maybe Miss Elyria is busy, so we always have a ram in a bush. And it's a song that's really appropriate for tonight because the title of the song is Be Ready. I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back and we're going to go into prayer. And then we're going to explore the Word of God together. Okay, Miss Elyria has come on into the studio. Oh, she went back off. Well, if she come, we're going to still let her sing. But I'm going to go ahead and play this record, You Gotta Be Ready, which is appropriate for the lesson tonight, so we can go on with our lesson. Miss Elyria?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have you now. This is Elyria Mackey from Bootville, and she's going to do a solo for us right now. Okay, Elaria.
Okay. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be sure, be there, sure your anchor holds and grip a solid rock. That rock is Jesus. He is, he's the one. That rock is Jesus. He's the only, only one. You be there, restore your anchor holds and grip a solid rock in times like these. We need the Bible. In times like these, we need a revival. You be sure, be
Miss Elaria Mackey. And if you don't mind, when the program is over, I'll open the mic back again for you to pray. Because I know you're a prayer warrior. I know you always ready. I know you never refuse an invitation to do something for God. So I know I'm not, you know, putting you on the spot. I know you are ready. And thank you.
You're welcome.
At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. And I'm honored tonight. My grandson, Madison, is on the line. And Madison is going to bring us through to the throne of grace. We have to just get ready, y'all. When she sung that song in times like these, do you realize we living in the last days and that Satan is pumping up the volume and he's trying to snatch everyone he can, even those who have received Christ? And as the song said, you got to make sure you're anchored with a solid rock. So we have to be prayerful, people, in season and out of season, about everything. We have to make our request known unto God. So, Madison, are you on the line? You on the line, Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to say anything to the people tonight?
No, ma'am.
Well, you could go ahead and lead us in prayer. And I pray that the Holy Ghost be upon you tonight as you pray.
God, thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, And please allow this Thursday to be a wonderful Thursday that we can share your word around, God. And thanks for sending us the Bible and all the other words so we can be prepared to grow up with you. And thanks for giving us this life and all these tools that we need, God. And thank you for allowing your son to die on the cross to save us from our sins, because every day, sometimes, you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to, but we can always feel some relief because we know that your son died on the cross for us. Thank you, God. And please allow us to spread the word to everybody, because we would like everybody to be saved and all of your children to go to heaven with you, God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Madison is my grandson. He's now 14 years old, and he's spending time with his father in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he took time and called us tonight. So I'm asking everyone to pray for my grandson. You know, we have to pray for our young men and women, girls and boys all around the world, because evil is ever so present. Thank you, Madison, and I pray that you call back in next week. It's time to explore the word. I have more callers that called in, so again, I'm going to say the title of the lesson is Jesus is Coming Back. We're in Matthew's, the 25th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. And, you know, every time I do a Bible study, I always give a background because, you know, studying, you have to pull things together to come to what you're looking for. You can't just read a verse and shut the book and say that's all for today or tomorrow. You have to study to show yourself approved as a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. So tonight's Bible study is a parable of 10 virgins. They had 5 foolish and 5 wise. You see, in using parables as a teaching tool, Jesus used people, places, and things that you are familiar with in this earth realm to illustrate a divine revelation. Some people have described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Hallelujah. God's people use God's principles. Come on now. God has principles that he had designed in his master plan, and all of his principles are the right way to do anything. No matter what the question is, the Bible has the answer and is based on the principles of God. And here we're going to see tonight that God developed an honorable way of conducting a marriage from the engagement to the honeymoon. You see, the Jewish practices and customs are what Jesus referred to a number of times in his teaching because he was speaking to a Jewish nation. I would imagine if Jesus was still walking the earth today and he decided to do a parable, I wonder just what he would be able to use to give us a great example. So, for our background tonight, I decided to explore the customs used for Jewish weddings back in the day, the ancient customs. To get a full depth and meaning of Scripture, you need background to receive the revelation of what is being said. So, I'm going to start now. I looked up the Jewish customs, and they used the word, he was betrothed. That means engaged. And it was binding and could only be undone with a divorce with proper grounds, such as the bride being found not a virgin. Come on now. This is how when they got ready to get engaged. And then when they say this, to put you in a place, my mind went on Mary when she was, you know, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she was engaged. She was betrothed to Joseph. She was engaged to Joseph. They weren't married, but they was engaged, and they looked upon an engagement as if it was a marriage. And when, you know, Joseph found out Mary was pregnant and he knew he didn't do it, so he decided to give her a divorce and send her away quietly. But the Holy Ghost came and revealed to Joseph, and that wasn't necessary, and the rest is history. You see, back then, when they had an engagement, dealing with the Jewish custom, the young man prepared a wedding contract or covenant, which he presented to the intended bride and her father. Included in it was the bride's price, which was appropriate in that society to compensate the young woman's parents for the cost of raising her, as well as being an expression of his love for her. To see if the proposal was accepted, the young man would pour a cup of wine for his beloved and wait to see if she drank it. You see, this cup represents a blood covenant. Look how God is doing this thing. And Jesus, when he used his parable of a wedding, why he used it. You could see the handprint all in here when he tells the parable, and you could understand what he was saying when you understand the custom of what he was paralleling it against. If he's talking about a farmer, you need to figure out what a farmer does. Come on now. If he talk about a potter, you got to see how the potter make the clay to get the message out of the parable, but that he was trying to give you. You see, he had to pay a price. And didn't Jesus pay the price for us? And when they poured the wine, if she accepted it, it became a blood covenant. Do you realize we entered into a blood covenant with Jesus? We entered into a blood covenant with God by the blood of Jesus. You see, if she drank the cup, it would be accepted, and it would be, you know, saying that she accepted the proposal, and they would be betrothed are engaged, not married yet. You see, the young man would then give gifts to his beloved and then take his leave. He go there, he wanna, and, you know, if you look a little bit deeper, I didn't go into this, but, you know, all of that was decided sometime when they were born. You know, they was making arrangements with parents for their children. So at this point, it's time to get engaged. She drinks the wine. They enter into a covenant. He give her a lot of gifts and he leaves. Come on now. That's almost representation of Jesus leaving to go sit at the right hand of the Father. And for us, his children, his bride, I'm going to say bride, his bride, because, you know, Jesus is coming back for his bride, which is the church. But when Jesus left, he gave us many gifts. And the Holy Ghost is the one administering these gifts. Watch the footprints. Watch what's being said. The young woman would have to wait for him to return and collect her. Before leaving, a young man would announce, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I return for you, you better be ready." Isn't this what Jesus told us in John 14:1? "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you are also." And then after that, what would happen? A young man, when I read this, I just shouted. The usual practice was for the young man to return to his father's house. Didn't Jesus go back to his father's house? Build a honeymoon room. Watch this. He had to get his father's approval before he could consider it ready for his bride. If asked the date of his wedding, he would have to reply, "Only my father knows." When Jesus left, he went to his father's house and sat at the right hand and wait until his father gave him permission to collect his bride. Jesus said, "I don't know the time and the hour, but nobody but my father." Jesus don't know the time or the date. Only his father has the authority to give that. But you see, in the meanwhile, the bride would be making herself ready so that she could be pure and beautiful for her bridegroom. You see, during this time, she would wear a veil over her face. And usually the engagement took a year, y'all. She would wear a veil over her face, showing that she was spoken for and that she has been bought with a price. I come to tell you tonight that all Christians should have something that shows that they have been redeemed and bought with a price, letting the world know who they belong to. If you say you love the Lord and you're a Christian, can anybody see anything in you? Or do you fit in the world so good nobody can tell any differences? Hallelujah. When the wedding chamber was ready, the bridegroom could collect his bride. And look what the scripture says in that same thing with John in the 14, but just two verses down. And this is the NIV. "When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." He could do this at any time. See, we don't know the time and we don't know the date, but just like this, they're customs. You see, but the bridegroom comes when his father tells him to go, and he goes to get the bride. You see, the bridesmaids, which in this parable we're going to do is the 10 virgins, were also waiting and had to have oil ready in their lamps. When the groom and his friends got close to the house, they would give a shout and blow a horn to let them know they was ready. We have to stay ready. Now watch this. The trumpet will sound when Jesus returns. Hallelujah. When the wedding party arrived at the father's house, the newlyweds went into the wedding chamber and for 7 days honeymooned. And the groom's best friends were set outside of the groom's door waiting for him to tell him that the marriage has been consummated. The proof of this was bed sheets. This is the truth, y'all. And some Jewish people still conduct weddings in this way. The bed sheets bearing the blood shed by the bride as a result of her first sexual intercourse. This is a noble thing for two reasons. It speaks of purity before marriage, but it also shows a blood covenant that most solemnly and the binding kind, such as God covenant with his people. Then all of the friends really started celebrating for the 7 days that the couple was honeymooning. And when the couple emerged, there would be much congratulations and the marriage supper would begin. Now, when I thought of marriage supper, it made me go to Revelation 19:9. And that says, and this is John saying what Jesus told him. He said, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Hallelujah. Y'all, you know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming back for his bride. His bride is the church. And he's going to come back and they're going to blow a horn. And if we entered into the blood covenant, it's like when she, you know, drank the wine. Come on, y'all. And she accepted. That's when we accept Christ. We enter into a blood covenant. And it goes on and on and on. And I really got to understand a little bit better of scripture that I have read, and I could put it somewhere. And I encourage you to do the same thing. You know, Bible study, my thing is I'm trying to get you guys to understand how to study the Bible. Because they say if you give a man a fish, he fish for one day. But if you teach a man to fish, he can feed himself for life. I'm trying to give y'all tools to when you open up your Bible, how you could do precept upon precept and do background and tie it all in a sweet bow. So the Holy Ghost could give it to you when it's needed. Illumination and revelation. So now we're going to go into the scriptures. Remember the customs of the Jewish marriage. And you're going to see, you know, you could have read this parable. And, you know, I say that Jesus used people, places, and things. If he used the ancient Jewish marriage customs, if you know them, you could follow this parable and understand even better. So if we go to Matthew's, the 25th verse, and we start from the 1st through the 8th, those who don't have your Bible, get your Bible, go to Matthew's. I'm going to do 1 through 13, but I'm reading now out of the King James Bible. And verse 1 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them was wise, and 5 was foolish. They that was foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You see, you got to realize they didn't have street lights and stuff, and the bride father, the groom father may have lived, you know, way up the street, and they had to, and the bride was waiting at her place for the bridegroom to come get him, and they would have to walk to, they ain't had no cars, you know, the limo ain't coming, they had to walk to the father's house when the groom came to get him, and you needed light. That's why it's talking about the oil and different things. And they say, while the bridegroom tarried, you know, he didn't get there at what time they thought. He tarried. And they all slumbered and slept. And at the midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. It's time now, y'all. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their light lamps. And verse 8 said, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps has gone out. Unprepared people, huh? You see, the 10 virgins were not 10 brides, but they were bridesmaids. The bridesmaids were there to attend to the bride. The bride and the bridesmaids had to set, watch, and wait until the bridegroom came to receive them. And when he came, they had to be ready. You see, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ, and this parable describes his return. In the Old Testament, God pictures himself as the husband of Israel. And in the New Testament, Christ is pictured as the bridegroom of the church. And the church I'm talking about is not a church building tonight, y'all, but it's each individual who belongs to the body of Christ as described in Scripture as the bride of Christ. You see, the 5 virgins who had extra oil were the prepared ones. They represent the truly born again, who are looking with earnestness to the coming of Christ. They have saving faith and have determined that whatever occur, be it lengthy in time, we don't know, and we have to be ready. Don't turn back. Whether it be lengthy in time or it could be happening when you have an adverse circumstances in your life. You see, when Jesus returns, we should be looking with eagerness. You know, the Bible even teaches us that we should be praying and doing things to help Jesus return. Hallelujah. You see, the 5 virgins or the 5 bridesmaids without oil represent false believers who enjoy the benefits of Christianity without true love for Christ. Y'all know anybody like that? You know, some of these are those who show up on Sunday just to say they was there. They have hidden motives. They're ever learning but never conforming to the truth. They only want God when it's convenient or if it fits their agenda. They are more concerned about the party. See, these 5 virgins that didn't prepare, they had their mind on the wedding celebration. They was ready for the party, because if they was ready for the bridegroom, the custom already tell you what you have to do. But you see, they was more concerned about the party than about longing to see the bridegroom. You see, their hope is that their association with believers, they would be able, like they say, give us some of your oil. And they believe that will get them into the kingdom at the end. But they didn't realize, of course, that's never the case. One person's faith in Jesus cannot save another. Because you see, every tub will have to sit on his own bottom. You know, you can't be saved on your mama prayers. Your wife can't save you. Children, your father can't save you. Hallelujah. Every tub's got to stand on their own, sit on their own bottom, and everybody got to accept him for themselves. And if we look at verse 9, all the way in 10, and the scripture reads as follows: But the wise answer, saying, you know, the virgins asked him for some of the oil, and now the wise bride, the wise virgins is answering, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but you go to them that sell and buy for yourself, saying, we can't give you none of, we got to, you know, go to the store. What we got, we going to keep it. And 10 said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. That's the scripture, y'all. And I come to tell you, you can't always give away what you need to be able to receive. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you're not studying or you're not giving all your time. You're giving all your time to the world rather than to the things of God. You know, you have to be careful about that. They went out to buy some, and the bridegroom came. The ones that was ready went with him, and the door was shut. And I'm talking about a door that no man can open. So don't think when you show up and the door shut, you could call on your mama, you could call on your daddy. Once the door is shut, no man can open it. And you see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Being ready for Christ's return ultimately involves one major thing, which manifests itself in the areas of our lives. You see, a lot of these parables that Jesus, when he always started off, and ours started off tonight in 25:1, they said, a kingdom of heaven be likened. He always said that. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, which is, you know, just about the same thing. What is this? It is saying that If you accepted Christ and Christ is in your heart, you belong to the kingdom here on earth. And some people thinks about the kingdom when Jesus is going to come and reign on the new Jerusalem forever and ever. That's the future one. But for us to live on earth, he's trying to teach us how we should be so that we could look like a citizen in the kingdom. That we could look like we belong to the Lord. That we could look like we appreciate what he has done. That we appreciate his grace and mercy. You know, you're not doing good to get saved, but because you are saved, you should want to do good in appreciation for all that he has done for you. You see, if you would be ready for Christ's return, you must be born again through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection from the dead. You have to accept him. You have to confess who he is, and you have to believe. You see, saving grace in Jesus Christ will manifest itself in every aspect of your life. Because you see, when Jesus left, talking about the gift like the bride, bridegroom give his wife, he give her the gifts and he leave. You see, when Jesus left, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And when the Spirit came and lived with you, he brought the fruit of the Spirit. You see, there's love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, faith, meekness, and temperance. We all have it. What you do with it depends on you. Against all such, there is no law. You see, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, some people always try to say the fruit. It's the fruit and the reason that God didn't put an S and want you to take all of these things individually, you know, because some people have started saying, well, I done learned how to love, and I ain't got so good with this faith thing, and I'm peaceful with everybody, but I ain't gentle all the time. He don't want you breaking that up like that. He wanted to operate as one, oneness, because that's the way he planned it. Hallelujah. You see, you will begin to show, and your light will begin to glow. What they say, let your light so shine that men can see your good works and glorify the Father. Can anybody see any light in you? And you will have a desire to sin less. And I didn't say you will be sinless, but a desire to sin a little less every day. Have you ever said, come Lord Jesus, come? You must not just focus on the things of the world, but be eager to do what is right just because it's the right thing to do. Hallelujah. And then we got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And they say all things will be added unto you. And then you got to remember, only what you do for Christ will last. And our last verse for tonight, well, two verses, 11, 12, and 13. Look in your Bible, and it say, afterward came also the other virgins. These are unprepared virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Open the door. We all right. We did good. Open the door. And 12 say, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And 13 say, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You have to accept him while the blood is running warm in your veins. You have to stop sitting around and thinking you have so much time. You see, the unprepared virgins tried to get in, but the door was shut. It was too late. That's how it's going to be for some people who believe they got all the time in the world. But I'm going to suggest to you tonight, don't roll the dice on your life. The time is now. You don't know when, but Jesus is coming back for his people. They went to the door and cried, Lord, Lord, and Jesus say, I don't know you. You see, and you see, at that time, some people believe they're going to be able to fake it till they make it. Some people figure they got the best gift of gab. You know, some going to probably go with money to try to buy their way in. Come on now, y'all. But Lord say, I knew you not. Because you see, Jesus know the real deal and those who are pretending. And if you go to Matthew 7:21 and 23, it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. 23. And then will I profess unto them, Jesus talking, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. And I'm going to close with this scripture tonight. And it's coming from Matthew 24 and 36. And it says, but of that day, the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. And you see, when God designed the Jewish custom for a wedding, can you see his will, how he set it up and the way he'd say it and what they had to do? Can you see the correlation? He said, only my Father know. In a Jewish wedding, the son didn't know the day. The son had to prepare, and he had to prepare, and he had to get it right. And only when the father thought the time was right, he'll tell the son, go get his bride. And God, when he's ready, come on, y'all, is going to tell Jesus, go and get his bride. But I just want to let you leave with the lady that sung the song earlier. I could leave with that because the statement in the song was, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. And I just want to encourage everybody, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You know, when Jesus talked in parables, he usually had one or two main points of focus. And if we look at everything that's been said tonight, the main focus what Jesus wants us to know is that he is coming back. No man knows when. So he encouraging each and every one of us to be ready. That's our program for tonight. And I see that I have a caller that has pressed the one button on their phone. And I'm going to open the mic and they could come in. Anybody who have anything to say, want to ask for prayer, want to give words of encouragement, want to expound on what already had been said, I welcome your comments. You know, I don't know everything, and I tell y'all all the time. And then sometime it may be something that you could say that another person could receive it better. So, you know, I'm all right with it. But I have a call of 504-756-68. Your mic is on. Caller, your number is 75668. Maybe they pressed the button by mistake. If anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If you want to make a comment, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, y'all going to get out early tonight. It's 9:19, so we've been on for about 45 minutes. I pray that each and every one of you have a better idea of parables. You know, this is the third parable we did in a row. And, you know, one of the parables was on about the talents, showed how God gives all of us talents and gifts according to our ability. And tonight we're talking about the virgins. So we doing the parables. Oh, all right, just hold on. And I see another caller. Has pressed the button. And the studio is trying to go crazy, but God is able. All right, it came back on air. Hallelujah. All right, Bible study listener, your number is 318-860. That's the prefixes of your number. I'm trying to open the mic for you. And it just want to go crazy tonight. Well, caller, look like our the studio is having a little issue because I'm trying to open the mic. And it's not letting me. Well, caller 318. This is the first time I've seen your number, so you may be a new caller. I want you to know that we. Caller, okay, it opened. Caller 318-880, your mic is open.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Diane?
Yeah, you open. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I really appreciate how you take the challenge of breaking the parable down in the Bible. That is a thing that I've seen a lot of ministers dodge. Because they don't have the patience and the umph to not say challenge it, but really to explain it to the people what and makes them take on the same challenge at itself to understand. These parables are a great thing, and he spoke of them. It's almost like speaking in tongues. It's like you if you have enough patience, the Holy Ghost in you. Then it will be, you will understand it a lot better than ones who just skim over such a thing. But that's a great thing to do, breaking down parables. It's like spiritually poetic. Very much appreciated, my dear.
And I thank you.
Oh, this is Roy, too.
This is a new caller, y'all. Roy. You can't hear Roy, but everybody's saying, hello, Roy. But we thank you for calling in. Huh?
I was saying bonjour to everybody. Bonjour.
Okay. But we usually every Wednesday night at 8:30, if the Lord allows, we come together. Last night, you know, I was not able to get in the studio, so I rescheduled for the night. And everybody, you know, took time tonight, and that's really a blessing. So all I have to do is say thank God. And I thank you for calling, and if God leads you back again, we'll love to have you.
Thanks for having me. So y'all stay blessed out there.
Thank you so much, Mr. Roy. And one thing we have to realize with a parable, you know, it wasn't until Jesus, when it was getting close to the end of Jesus' ministry, we all know that Jesus' ministry lasted 3 years, and he preached, and he taught, and he did all of these wonderful things. And some people was getting it, and a whole lot of people wasn't, because, you know, he said, you know, the parables would be for us to understand, and it won't be for them because they look at it indifferent. They look at it as being a little story, a little fairy tale type of thing. But Jesus knew his time was getting short, and a parable would be simple if you have the right background to understand where he's coming from. You know, one of our, last week we did the four soils, and what I did is told you how the farmers farm. And, you know, back then they threw the seeds on the ground. They didn't have these lines and plows to line it up and correctly place the seed in. So when they would sprinkle the seeds, all of them wasn't going to catch. Matter of fact, he spoke of four different types of soil, and only one received. So what he's saying, one out of four. Come on, y'all. So we have to be studious, and we have to do the best that we can, and we have to study to show ourselves approved. But towards the end of Jesus' ministry, he started teaching in parables. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there's 35 of them, and I told you week before last that they're only listed in a synoptic gospel, and a synoptic gospel is only the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because if you look in the Bible, you will not see parables in the book of John. Remember, I'm teaching you how to study. I'm giving you food for thought. I pray that you take and you meditate, and then everything is going to come together, and I guarantee you God going to work it out together for your good. That's our lesson for tonight. I never like to go over an hour, but I explained to y'all I have a two-hour slot. So I can, but I try to be respectable to your time, and it's you know, a little late at night. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, and anybody have anything else to say? We got 4 minutes. Anybody would like to say anything else? And y'all know I tell you all the time, don't be too shy. And never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if that's it for tonight, I'm going to go back to Miss Elyria Mackey and ask her to lead us out in prayer. My grandson was awesome. Hi, y'all. But I'm going to go ahead and let Sister Elyria lead us out in prayer. Elyria, you could hear me?
I'm here, yes.
And we could hear you. You're on the air. And you could speak about the lesson. You could lead us in prayer. You could do whatever God leads you to do at this time. Because we really finishing a little bit early. So, you want to go ahead?
You broke it down good, because we're in the last days, and we have to let our light shine. We have to make sure that we stay in tune with God. Study his word, apply his word to our life. That's what the five wise did. They read the word, they accepted the word, they lived the word. And we just thank God this afternoon. God, we thank you because your word says that the steps of a righteous man, a good man, are ordered by God. We thank you for ordering our steps in your word, oh God. We thank you, God, because you're worthy of praise, because your word said that you give us new mercies every day, oh God. God, we just thank you for Sister Diane, God, as she come forward bringing your word, God, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. God, because you said your word will go out and it will not return back void. It will accomplish everything it was set to do. And God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this prayer line, God. We thank you for the word of wisdom, Lord God, that we get. And we thank you because your word said, with all thy getting, get understanding. And we thank you that the word is being broke down where we can understand it clearly, Lord God. And we reverence you tonight. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you the glory. And I pray for everyone that's on the line, Lord God, that they will grow in grace, Lord God, that they will go closer to you, Lord God, because we want more of you and less of self. God, we want to walk in the Spirit. God, because you said if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory. You are awesome,
thank
God.
Thank you so much, Sister Mackie, and thank you, Mr. Roy, for your comments. And I appreciate each and every one of you. I thank God for each and every one of you.
Be ready. Mm-hmm. I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready for His return. I pray that we'll get our ministry so we can all meet as a game. I pray we'll all be ready for His return.
Yes, Lord Jesus. And Miss Sister Mackie, we're thanking you for the melodies because it's right on time being ready for His return. It is now 9:30. I know you did. But it is now 9:30. It is. Before I could click you off, I heard you sing. And it was appropriate. So that's it for the night. And I'm going to leave you as I always do. I ask that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And no matter what's going on in your life at this time, you got to realize that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or think. So you just be ready.
Yes.
And that's our program tonight. God loves you, and so do I. And thank each and every one of you for switching your day. You know, it felt funny on Thursday, but it was still so good. God
yes,
loves
was.
You, and so do I. And remember, if you begin to take care of God's business, He will definitely take care of yours. And with that being said, good night. See you next Wednesday, if the Lord allows. And be good. And pray for our Bible study. Pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.